Wednesday the 18th of April, Rabbi Baruch Kirovsky, Gershomel the Lotoval.
This is my father and grandfather. This is my father-in-law. Cholam Subin Kam. Let me just begin by thanking the organizers and Gaboyim who have given me this opportunity to start the day the Torah way with you this morning. May this a wonderful Torah project, Ezes Hashem do me chayel ol chayel. This week's Seder is Parshas Hazriah, and of course the first mitzvah that we come across in the Seder is the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Yimashmini yimel b'sar alofe. And if I'd like Ezes Hashem to discuss an inyan of Bris Milah, with particular reference to a fascinating tshuva written about 150 years ago by the Oruch Lener. The Oruch Lener has tshuvas binyan tzion, and he has there this wonderful correspondence between himself and a rov in Yerushalayim concerning Bris Milah, not of an 8-day-old baby, but the Bris Milah of a geir. And just by way of introduction, let's just refer to the Ramban in the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel Hilchos Yisurei Bia, who lays down for us very clearly, Kedarkei Bakodesh, the exact process of becoming a geir. And he says, and this is based on a Gemara, Gemara and Krisus, that in fact it's a three-stage process. Nowadays it's only a two-stage process because the third and final part, which the Rambam discusses, the bringing of a korban, is of course not negiah b'zman hazeh. But he says, and he traces it, looking at the history of Klal Yisrael, and he says Klal Yisrael themselves became geirim. How do they do that? B'shloisha dvarim nichmasu Yisrael lebrit. How did they become members of Klal Yisrael? The mila, the tzvila, the korban. Now, as I mentioned, the korban is of course not negeah now, but what is the mila and the tzvila. Says the Rambam, where does this come from? The mila was the mitzrayim. As you know, in Pasha's boy, they were instructed before the amaka, the korban pesach, they all had to undergo a bris mila. So there you have it, mila hoisa the mitzrayim. Here we have the makor that, in order to undergo geirus, the first stage in the process is to have a bris mila. After that, this is now halacha gimel, they then had tzvila. Where was that? The tzvila was the tzvila hoisa the midbar kedem matan teyo. Following the Bris Mila in Mitzrayim, they then had a Maisa Tvila just before Matan Torah, and together with a Maisa Havas HaKorban, that therefore completed the Geirus process. And that nowadays also how a Geir becomes a Geir, through a Bris Mila, followed by a Maisa Tvila. Of course, also has to be a Chabolat El Mitzvah, but the actual process is a Bris Mila, followed by a Maisa Tvila. It's important to note, there's machlokes about this in the Gemara and Yevamos, but the maskon is quite clear. The shita of the Chachamim, there's the halacha and the Rambam over here, halacha vav, the Sifra Shulchan Aruch, that this two-stage process isn't completed until the tefillah has been done. Einoy geir, says the Rambam, ad sheyimoyl v'yitboil. If in the middle he has his bris milah and then he decides he's going to back out, he can still do so. He's not yet considered a fully fledged geir ad sheyimoyl v'yitzbor until he's had both bris mila and also the maisa tzvila. And what I'd like to discuss today is, what does that mean, he's not yet a geir until the bris mila and also the tzvila? Does that literally mean he's a goy gomel? Does that literally mean he's done nothing at all and the bris mila hasn't advanced him any further in joining Klal Yisrael? Or is there perhaps room to say, and as we'll soon see, it's got many naskaminas, is there perhaps room to say that something has indeed happened after the Bris Mila? I have an uncle in Bnei Brak, Rav Amoya Hirah, some of you might know, Rav Yom Tzanga Shlita, who told me recently he had a shaila halacha lemaisa about a geir who did his Bris Mila, and his tevila was scheduled to be on Friday. He had his bris mila, and before he went out to tevil, he did whatever he does on a Friday. He got his cholent ready, took his cholent, and he put it on the flame. He went out and tevil, and then came back, and he realized there's a shayla over here. If he wasn't yet a Yisrael gomel until the tevila, how can he eat his cholent? I mentioned to somebody yesterday, asked, what are you talking about? I said, what's the status? He says, no, you mean it's not really halacha lemaisa. I said, what do you mean? There's a bowl of cholent at stake here. It's kuach nefesh mamish. That's what we're going to try and find, Hashem. A ger shemol v'lo tova. Where is he standing? Has he done nothing at all? Which is perhaps the mashmol to the Rambam. Ain a ger, he's not a ger. It's really the Lashon HaGemara. Or is there room to say no, that something has happened? And if that is true, then we have to define. What is it that's happened? So here we turn our attention to this tshuva na'or chaneh. Half the tshuva is just the Lashon of the Sheol. The Sheol was a rov in Yerushalayim. As I mentioned, this is written over 150 years ago. And he writes the oracle there, he says, the shaila came to my hands, I paskened what I thought was a straightforward pshat, and yet there was such an enormous tumult afterwards. People made such a shrai rai at me, I thought I have to write to you the oracle there, and I want to know, do you agree with my pshat or do you disagree? What was the shaila? It's Rav in Yerushalayim writes the oracle there, and he says he was approached late Shabbos afternoon. And he writes, therefore, there wasn't much time to be ma'ayin in Svarim or to consult with anybody, although he says, I didn't really feel the necessity to do so anyway, because in my eyes, it was a perfectly straightforward shaila. I was approached Shabbat afternoon by somebody who had done Bris Milah. He was in the process of becoming a geir, but hadn't yet done his tefillah. So there he was, right in the middle of his geir's process. He is the classic geir shemol v'lei tada. And he asked me, what's the halacha about keeping Shabbos? He's of course referring to the Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, also halacha psukah, goy sheshavat chayav misa. A goy may not keep Shabbos. It's not a voluntary thing. It's not an inyan. It's an issa. Goy sheshavat chayav misa. He may not keep Shabbos. And anybody who is a goy is mechuyus to machalal Shabbos. This geir wanted to know, having done bris milah, is he also subject to this issa of Goyish Shabbat Chayav Misa? He's in the middle of becoming a geir. He's almost there. All he needs to do is a Maisa Tvila, which he's planning on doing shortly, but he hadn't yet done by the time Shabbos came in. What's his status with regard to this issa of keeping Shabbos? Is he also subject to the issa of Goyish Shabbat? Or perhaps he's not really a goy. He's halfway there to being a yid. I can't resist telling over a wonderful story that I heard from a famous rabbi in America, of Reisman, who did a very popular and well-attended nachshir. On one of his tapes, he says that one of his regular attenders came up to him at the end of the shir and said, Rabbi, I have a serious shaila to discuss with you. Go ahead. He says, this may come as a surprise to you, but actually, I'm a goy gomor. Goy gomor? He says, yeah, I'm becoming a geir. It's a long process. I'm learning all the halachas, but at the moment, I'm a goy gomor. Well, what's your shayla? He said, I know there's an issa for a goy to keep Shabbos. Fine. So as long as I'm not yet a yid, I've got to be machal Shabbos. Oh, he said, it's such a shame, you know, stay as mahul kedusha Shabbos to be machal Shabbos. So I was advised, you know what? Strike a match, and then you know, you're an issa Shabbos. You be machal Shabbos, that's all you need to do. One little act. Strike this goy. So I don't understand. I don't need the match before. I have no te'elet, no benefit whatsoever from this match. So surely it's a malacha she'en tzichel gufa, and therefore I haven't been machal Shabbat. Not bad for a goy. A goy. Malacha she'en tzichel gufa. So the emes says it's a whole discussion in itself, not today's inyan, whether that is or isn't called a malacha she'en tzichel gufa. There's a marshal that discusses about whether the mekeshish eitzim, who Chazal tell us was deliberately machal Shabbat, just to demonstrate to Klal Yisrael what happens if you do transgressed Yom Machal Shabbos, in which case Vaita, he didn't need the malacha that he was doing it for some other benefit. For the Marshal, no, Efshat Malacha Shrein Tzichel Gufa. No, this guy obviously held that the Marshal, and that was his kasha to Rav Reisman. So Rav Reisman says, on his face, he says, I approached my Rebbe, Rav Tam, as he always did, and the answer that Rav Tam, that Tzal gave him was Goyimus. He says, Ledina this Goy is right. He's right, Malacha Shrein Tzichel Gufa is not a malacha. That we can't really be deemed to be Machal Shabbos. But he says the Emes is not so kosher. The Emes says it's Machlekes. And in fact, the Rambam paskens that Malacha Shrein Tzichel Gufa is the Malacha. He says, we don't pasken like that, but a guy could be famous from Shittas HaRambam. Chodai is good enough. Al-Kalponim Nachtele Didan, so this Shoyal came to this Rav in Yerushalayim, because he's in the middle of his Gerish process. Gerish Shemol V'loi Tova. Does he have to keep Shabbos? Does he have to be Mechalo Shabbos? What's his thing? So the Rav in Yerushalayim writes in his Shaila to the Aruch Hanai, he says, in my eyes, this is a straightforward Shaila. I told him immediately, go and be Mechalo Shabbos. Says, why? Combination of two Gemaras. Ger Shemol V'loi Tova, the Gemara told us, Einoi Ger, that's the Gemara in Yevamos, the Rambam Paskin. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, go to Shabbos, Chayav Nisa. As far as I'm concerned, says his Rav, he's not yet a Yid, he's a Goy. If he's a Goy, of course, he's subject to the Yisrael, go to Shabbos, Chayav Nisa. I told him, go immediately and be Mechal Shabbos. There wasn't much time left, it was late Shabbos afternoon, that's what I told him to do. Says the Shoyal, after I did that, it all came to me with such a shry eye. Hayitochem, how can it be such a thing? This person's on the verge of becoming a Yid. We've never heard of such a thing. Time is all these people. There's a gewaldige tumul. Was he right? Was he not right? Says the Shoyal, I don't really understand the basis for their queries. Goyish Shabbos Chayav Misa, and here's a Goy. Ein a Geir, Achshiyim al V'Yitzah. Seems straightforward to me. But he says, no, there was such a gewaldige tumul. I'm writing to you, the Aruch Haner. I want to know, do you concur with my psak, or do you disagree? The Aruch Haner writes back, and he says, the first thing I must tell you is, I've been Vedic. I've done my investigations. Let's not worry for a minute about the longest and the reasoning and the svaras. If you want to know what the Minig Olam is, I'm afraid to tell you, says the Aruch Haner, the Minig Olam is not like what you paskins. The generally accepted custom seems to be that somebody who is undergoing his Geirus process, as in, and is in the middle, when he arrives at Shabbos, a Geir Shemol V'Lei Toval, it seems to be the normal minig that he is not subject to the Issa of Geish Shabbos. Svaras and Raya's and Lachas we'll worry about in a second. Therefore, all these people who came to you making such a tumult, L'chura Hadin Imohem. Seems to be that they're correct. Why, we'll get to, but that seems to be the minig Olam. Says the Aruch Haner, so when you think about it, it's either Mufurish or Raya. A Pashta Raya. We just mentioned the Rambam, who traces the history of Geirus, and he says that Geirus is a two or three stage process, Brit Mila and Tvila. Where did he bring a proof from? From Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael had a Brit Mila in Mitzrayim, and then, before Matan Torah, they had their Maisa Tvila. So there you have it, you have to have a Mila and Tvila. There's the Aruch Haner. What about that Pasuk in B'Shalach? Right in the middle of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. But the Pasuk tells us, Shom Som Loi Chayk U Mishpach V'Shom Nito. And Rashi brings down there, and it comes from a Gemara, Gemara in Sanhedrin, a Gemara in Hoyrius, that the Moro, Klal Yisrael were then in Moro, Nitztavu, the Ketach Mitzvahs. There they got instruction on some of the mitzvahs. Says Rashi, one of those mitzvahs was Shabbos. One of those mitzvahs was Shabbos. Says the Aruch Haner, well there you have it. Klal Yisrael were exactly in this status, having been mol v'loi tovah, the Mila had already been done in Mitzrayim, they hadn't yet tabled, and they got instructions to keep Shabbos. Black and white, says the Aruch Haner. You see that somebody who's had a Brit Mila, you may well be correct that ain't a gay. He's not yet considered a fully fledged member of Klal Yisrael, but you can't say that it's offered to him to keep Shabbos. Okay? Klal Yisrael were instructed there, in the middle of their Geirus process, to keep Shabbos. Now the emes is, there's perhaps room to be chelek, or at least to query. The Loshon of Rashi already gives us remez, that perhaps they weren't really instructed Shabbos to keep Shabbos. The Loshon Rashi ala Torah is in fact, the mora nosam lehem mitzas parashas shel Torah sheyisasku bohem. A peculiar Loshon perhaps, if indeed Klal Yisrael were instructed to keep Shabbos, sheyisasku bohem. There should be oisik. There's a mashmaot in Rishonim, and perhaps even in Ezeruah, that they weren't actually told to go and keep Shabbos. They were perhaps only told to learn the halachas, or according to others to learn the klolim, and the prophim came afterwards. Therefore, there's certainly room, perhaps to taina, that they were never actually told to physically keep Shabbos. But akoponim, the Aruch Haner, Milon Ugodol, says Nishtazim. The Aruch Haner says quite clearly that there you have it, a mafurasha Rashi, which comes from a Gemara, that a ger shemol v'loi tovel, has to go and keep Shabbos. That's when the instruction of Shabbos came. And therefore says Aruch Hanan, that's point number two. Point number one was the minhag ha'olam is not like you. Point number two is that for a Sharia, Ger Shemol v'lo Tavel, was Klal Yisrael stated in Moram, and there they were instructed on mitzvah Shabbos. Shaila is, of course, minhag ha'olam, very good raya, but why is the Shaila not right? Why is the Shaila not right? Ein ger achim al v'yikpoil. So what's his business? Halfway, abyssal, a chapti, what is he? He's ein ger. That was the Lashon of the Rambam. That was the Lashon of the Gemara. So the Aruch Hanan might well have tainted that the minhag ha'olam is nishtazoi, and he's got a mefurash raya. But the question that we have to address is, of course, what is the svar? What's pshat in this minhag ha'olam? Gerech, we have a raya from Moram. But what's pshat in this minhag ha'olam? Why is it that a ger shemol v'loi toval, despite not yet being a ger, Lashon Rambam, Lashon Gemara, ein ger, but nevertheless he can still go and keep Shabbos. He's not subject to this issa of Gresh Shabbos Chayim Misa. With who? If they would not keep Shabbos? So again, it would depend on how we learn the Rashi. If we learn the Rashi, she is Aftu, then about or not. The Orchaneh seems to have learned that no, they were Nitztava ala Shabbos, Pshutika Mashmoy. And had they been over, they would have been deemed Mechalele Shabbos. The Torah that there was. That's one of the big kashas. Yeah, you're asking very good. That's one of the big kashas in the Izzurua. The Izzurua suggests that they didn't really get the mitzvah of Shabbos to keep. Nachem all asked. The Roshuk stuck in the pole, and it's involved with the kashas. Al Kolponim, this is the raya of the Aruch Huner. In fact, I found an Avnei Nezer as well. If anybody wants to know the Maramokim, Avnei Nezer is in Yeridea, Simon Shin Nun Aleph. The Aruch Huner, Chuvas Binyan Sin. They both are mechavan to the same raya from Mora that a ger shemol v'loi toval is mechuyah to keep Shabbos. As we question, what's taka the pshat? The Rashba and Yibomah gives the whole game away. It doesn't tell us the Hezba, but there's one line in the Rashba that gives us room to try and define this status of a ger shemol v'loi toval. The Rashba and Yibomah, this is in Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, is discussing this status of the Ger Shemol V'Lei Tovah with particular reference to the Korban Pesach. We know a Goy, as the Furush HaPosik in the Torah, a Goy cannot partake in the Korban Pesach. The Gemara brings another drosha to tell us that a Ger Shemol V'Lei Tovah also cannot partake in the Korban Pesach. Not yet a Yid. Ger Shemol V'Lei Tovah cannot take part in the Korban Pesach. Fret the Rashba. On fact, Yahweh Rishenim, why would I need a separate prophet to tell me that a ger shemol v'lei toval cannot be mishtatif in the Korban Pesach? I know! A goy can't take part in the Korban Pesach. I need another prophet for ger shemol v'lei toval. A ger shemol v'lei toval is nishtager. Why do I need another prophet? So listen to the Lashon of the Rashba. The Rashba says, no. Even though it's true to say that a goy gomor cannot be mishtatif in the Korban Pesach, but without a mefurish apostle, there would have been room to say that a ger shemol v'lei toval can indeed take part in the Korban Pesach. Why? So listen to the nusach. The nusach is all important. Says the Rashba, afal pi shalei nigmar geirusa, even though he hasn't yet finished his geirus process, mikol mokoim kva hischil, he's already begun, v'nichmas ktsas bedas yehudis. V'nichmas ktsas but Das Yehudis. He has entered slightly into Das Yehudis, the Jewish religion, She'einai Tzorech, Elo Tfila, because all he needs is his Tfila. That's all he needs. He is Nichnas Tzach L'Das Yehudis. Says the Rashba, seeing as he is a Nichnas Tzach L'Das Yehudis, and we'll define this in a minute, Bezat Hashem, seeing as that's the case, I cannot just have assumed, seeing as a Goy can't take him according to Pesach, so too a ger shemol v'lei toval. No, he's far better off than a goy. You're right, he might not be a gay. Or but a goy gomor isn't. He's a nichmas ktsas ladas yudis. What does that mean? What does that mean? Abyssal layid. Hal b'yid. Shtikal layid. There's in fact a lashon of Hayadvaz I don't know whether the Rashba means this, probably not, but Advaz says it's a very difficult Hadgar that the Acha Mila, Kedem Tvila, he's not a Goy and he's not a Yid. Whereas he's in the middle, no man's land. I don't know if that's Mashmol, Saloshna Rashba, Nichnas Ksach, Ledat Yudis, the Kunzer Advaz, Nishka Nichnas Ksach, he became a Goy, Dayenu Bezer, he's not a Nichnas Ksach, Ledat Yudis. The Radvaz is Shver in itself, but let's try and define the Rashba and understand the Rashba. What does this mean that a Ger Shemol Balei Toval is Nichnas Ksach Lidas Yehudis? Because if we can understand the Rashba, then we're on the way to understanding that a Ger Shemol Balei Toval, who might not yet be a fully fledged Ger, but he's Nishka Goy Gomel. And therefore there's room to play around the Neger to the Issa that we're discussing of Goy Sheshavas Chayav Misa. Perhaps he's Nishka Goy. What is he? He's something else. Of Eshkat Goy is an Ishta. Perhaps you can suggest the Pshat Mirashbo, Al Piyah Yisoy, Mufursom, Umchudash, of Rav Naftali Trop. Rav Naftali, one of the Gdeli Achreinim, of course, the Rosh Hashiva, in Rabin. He's Mechadish, and you hear this Chiddush, you hear the Koyach HaChiddush, the Godless, of one of the Gdeli Achreinim. He said Pshat Mirashbo in Yivom. The Gemara is discussing the halacha of the Akum HaBoal Bas Yisrael, a guy who marries a Jewish woman and has a child. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. One opinion is Havlad Kosher. The mother, the Yid, Havlad Kosher. Poshut Pshat in the Gemara is that the child is a fully fledged Yid. If the mother's a Yid, the child's a Yid. Tosfos learns the Shulchan. Tosfos says all the Gemara means when it says Havlad Kosher, what it means to say is that the blood is not a mamzer. Other Chayde Krisos, Habar Bas Yisrael, the Vlad can be a Mamza. Here there's no problem with Mamzer. The Goy cannot produce a Mamza. That's not to say the Yid. The Tosfos says quite clearly, the child, Sorich, Geir. He needs Geir. Ida Gemara says, Vlad Kosher. The Tosfos says, no, Vlad Kosher doesn't mean he's a Yid. Come Mamza is an Ish. That's all the Gemara is being Machadosh. Oh, but he needs Geir. Comes again with Naftali. And says, 1 minute. What does that mean, Sorach Geirus? You're trying to tell me that say the Ishka Mamza, but he's a guy, and he needs Geirus. It would follow, therefore, says Rav Naftali, for example, that after he's done his Geirus, we know the famous klal, Geirus is his Gaia, to Kotn Shemel Adomi, it's a fresh start. A Geirus does his Geirus, it's a brand new start, like a born child. And one of the big nafkaminas of that klal, it's not just the soundbite, the catchphrase, it's Halacha Lemaisa. He has no Issa craving. All those people who are naturally related to him, after his Geirus, he's born again. And therefore he's not considered related to all these people, there's no Issa Krevus. Says Rav Naftali. If Tosfos is telling us, a Goy HaBoal Bas Yisrael have had this child and he needs Geirus, it would follow therefore that after the Geirus, he should be mukta to all his craving, because he's undergone Geirus. And that Rav Naftali says can't be true, he's got Mefurash Arayas, which we can't go into now. That's not the case. He still offers all his craving like he was before the Geirus. So what's Pshat in Tosfos? How can Tosfos possibly suggest that Tzorech Geirus, he needs Geirus, when you see that he's offers all his craving afterwards? Says Rav Naftali, a chidush godel otzim. He says in every member of Klal Yisrael, every person is really zeicha to two labels. A person is a member of Klal Yisrael, a member of Am Yisrael, he's part of the nation. He's also zeicha to what he calls Kedushas Yisrael, the holiness that's bestowed on every member of Klal Yisrael. And says of Naftali, the two are not necessarily dependent on each other. It's possible to have somebody who's a member of Klal Yisrael without necessarily having Kedushas Yisrael. And he says this is a case in point. And here's Rav Naftali's goinus. Whether or not, says Rav Naftali, somebody is considered to be a member of Klal Yisrael, that's dictated to as to whether or not his mother is indeed a Yid. In our case, where the mother of his child is a Yid, he's also a Yid. What does that mean he's a Yid? He's a member of Klal Yisrael. He's part of the nation. Kedushas Yisrael. That's something else completely. Where does one get one Kedushas Yisrael, says Rav Naftali? That's from the father. Horai, says Rav Naftali, you can have a person who's a member of Klal Yisrael. Who dictates, who decides whether this member of Klal Yisrael has extra Kedusha of a Levi or extra Kedusha of a Kohen? It's not the mother. It's the father. says Rav Naftali, there's a shutzus going on over here. It's the mother who gives the child the label Klal Yisrael. It's the father who instills him with Kedushas Yisrael. So Rav Naftali married it. In our Gemara, an Akum Abar Bas Yisrael, he's in the middle. He's considered a member of Klal Yisrael because his mother is of a certain Kedushas Yisrael. His father's a goy. Says Rav Naftali, a Chiddush Gadol, when Tosfos says that this child needs Geirus, it's not because he's a guy. Sounds absurd. A Yid who needs Geirus? Yeah, a Yid who needs Geirus. While it's felt in the Kedushas Yisrael. Normally when a guy comes and does Geirus, of course, he gets two for the price of one. He's a guy Gomor, he gets Alidea, Maisa Geirus, a title, Klal Yisrael and Kedushas Yisrael. Here you have somebody who's in the middle. He's already a fully-fledged member of Klal Yisrael because his mother's a Yid. Of a felt in Kedushas Yisrael because his father's a guy. And says Rav Naftali, and that's why, of course, after the Geirus, of course he's after to all his craving. Because by him there's no klal of Gershon and Gaius, Kotten Shenoylav Domik, Kotten Shenoylav, he's already a member of Klal Yisrael. He just needed the Makir Patish. He needed the final touch, the finishing process of the Geirus, to give him a matzav of Kedushas Yisrael. That's Rav Naftali's same shtickle. It's possible, therefore, that that's exactly what the Rashba means as well. A Gershon Mol V'loi Tavah, whom the Rashba was Mahadish, is a Nichnas Tzatzve Das Yehudis. A Bissel Yid? A Halva Yid? Who's ever heard of such a thing? Nobody until we've seen Rav Naftali. But Rav Naftali is Mahadish to us, that there does exist this Musug of somebody who's a Nichnas Tzatzve Das Yehudis. A Bissel Yid? Chutik of Ashmoy. And therefore it's possible to suggest that somebody becomes a Geir, Alidei is Brit Mila, like the Loshna of the Rishonim, Yotza Michlal Ben Akum. He's always goy. The Brit Mila gives him the title Klal Yisrael. You're not a goy anymore, you're part of Klal Yisrael. But the Tzvila, the Maisa Tahara, the Maisa Kedusha of the Tzvila, is what is Mechel on him, the Kedusha of Yisrael. And that's why there's a two-stage process in Geirus. The first half, the Brit Mila, is in order to take him out of Michlal Goy, and in order to give him the label Klal Yisrael. He then does the finishing touch, the Maisa Tzvila, which bestows on him the label Kedushas Yisrael. There's the Rashba. This person is Ger Shemoy Voi Taval. He's a Nichnas Ksas Ledas Yehudis. What, in the middle? In the middle. Shutek HaMashmoy, he's in the middle. He's a member of Klal Yisrael, of a Sultan Kedushas Yisrael. Therefore, I need a special apostle, B'nai Ger, to come and pace. I have to tell you that even though he's on the way, that this is the Yid, but what? You still need a pasuk to tell us that he cannot be mishtatef in the Korban Pesach. That could be pshat in the Rashba. And that therefore could be pshat in the Minig HaOlam that the Aruch Haner referred to. He said that the generally accepted Minig seems to be that a Ger Shemol V'loi Tavel, although is Einei Ger, like the soil held, you're right, he's not a Goy. He's not a fully fledged Ger. But it could mean that the Taich in the Minig HaOlam is that every Ger Shemol V'loi Tavel, seeing that he's a nichnach ksas ledas Yehudis, you cannot say about him that he should be subject to the issa of goy sheshovas. But a goy is a nish. What does that mean? A nishka goy, what is he then? He's exactly as the Rashba defined. As Rav Naftali explained, he's a nichnach ksas. He's a bissel yid. Says the Aruch Haner, that chat in Mora, that's Avinezer as well. Klal Yisrael in Mora were exactly in the middle of the process. They were then a ger shemol v'loy toval. They were also what the Rashba would have called a nichnas ksas ledas Yehudis. If you're ready, at Tabitha Leyiv, what does that mean? You're a member of Klal Yisrael. It happens to be that Tovdei Kedushas Yisrael, you cannot have shayach to you the issa of Goy Sheshavas. And therefore, even though the Shoyal maintains that he's Eino Gay, Rashi Yimel the Yitboil, says the Aruch Haner, you're 100% right. You're not a fully fledged Gay. And all the halachas that you need to be an out-and-out Yid, not just a member of Klal Yisrael, but you need to have Kedushas Yisrael, you're right, he's not yet considered fully fledged Geir. Of Agoy Yivinisht. He's Yotza Mechlal Ben Akum Alidei Bris Mila. And therefore, it's not shayach for him the issa of Goy Yisheshavah, Tavnishka Goy. Mela, even though a fully fledged Goy cannot, of course, keep Shabbos, he has to be Mechal Shabbos. But this Yid who finds himself exactly in the middle, the Nichna Ksat Ledas Yudiz, he's not prone to this issa, because he isn't a goy. He's a nichnas ksas ledas Yehudis. Now, as we stand now, in between Pesach and Shavuot, Pesach was the Zman, where the Torah describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Lekeach, Lekach of Goy Mikerav Goy. He plucked us out, and we became Klal Yisrael. It was only by Matan Torah that we then became the Mamlechas Kainim, the Goy Kodesh. That's when we got the Kedushas Yisrael, and that's where we're standing in the middle. May it be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rotzen that we should admit Hashem, the Zeicher, to these titles, Klal Yisrael, and also Kedushas Yisrael.